You're listening to the Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. Now, here's your creepy host.
On today's show, we have the writers and creators of the new Snapchat original animated series, Death Hacks, which you can get all 10 episodes now, and you can also see them on deathhacks.com, correct, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, deathhacks.com is just a pass-through to the Snapchat, but
yeah,
it's a good place, and you can actually watch it on the Snapchat YouTube channel, too. If you don't have Snapchat, you can watch the first episode in the trailer there.
Yeah, I highly suggest people looking at that, but you're definitely going to want to watch the rest of the episodes. They're easily digestible. But welcome, Aaron Augenblack. You're the creator of this, and then writers Katie Hannigan and Ryan Beck. Happy to have you guys on to talk about this, because I feel like, you know, with such a fun, bite-sized animated series, and as quick and kind of quippy as it is, the writing really needed to be great to bring this to life. So kudos on that. It's something I very much would expect to see on Adult Swim. So when I saw it on Snapchat, I was pleasantly surprised that it lived there. And I love the short form that we're kind of getting into. And that's kind of why I brought up Adult Swim, because I'm used to seeing like 15-minute episodes there. And something that feels like it fits in that world coming to Snapchat is cool. So my first question for Aaron, as the creator, like, where did this idea come from? And also, was short form your first pass at this? Was it something you thought it would be longer? Was this specifically for Snapchat?
The Adult Swim thing is not by accident. I mean, a lot of the shows that I've done in my career were Adult Swim shows. I did the show Super Jail on Adult Swim. I recently did two seasons of the show The Jellies with Tyler, the Creator. That was on Adult Swim. And we've always had kind of a late night vibe with the animation that we do. And it started with just the idea of, I thought it'd be really funny to parody, life hacks and just that kind of YouTube-y kind of culture. And then it was just the name Death Hacks, just it suddenly kind of wrote itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just the idea of doing, immediately horror has always been my favorite genre of anything. I would probably put it above animation, because it's what I watch horror way more than I watch animation. So the idea of combining horror and comedy and animation was just like really exciting. So, the idea kind of sprang that, okay, so if it's like, doing a life hack show, it's like a YouTube show, influencers like speaking from the grave, what kind of world would that be? And that's really where the idea started. And I put a pitch together, I shopped it around to a couple places, and then I heard that Snap was doing a lot of putting a lot of their focus on animation and on entertainment in general. So I talked to Snap, and they were just really a really exciting place to talk to, because I've done a lot of shows, a lot of networks, and sometimes it feels like they're just sort of grinding out the product a little bit. And as an independent studio, I always like experimenting. And Snap, because they're younger than I am. You know what I mean? It's like Snap's only 10 years old, and my studio's 20.
Yeah.
So they basically have the vibe of like a startup, and they're just experimenting with everything. And right away they were like, we love the idea that this is like, this show would be like direct address. And it's like, hitting on all of the things that people are excited about on Snapchat, fashion and food and pranks and all this stuff. They're like, it's kind of made for our audience. So lean into that. Like, don't make a show that could be on Adult Swim. Don't make a show that could be on Comedy Central. Make a show that could only be on your phone. Like, we want to make this completely a Snapchat show. So we totally leaned into that. So they immediately had a really great drive towards experimenting and making a new kind of cartoon. So that's what was great. And then I'll lead it into to Ryan and Katie. Like you said, you know, okay, so you have this format, this weird format. Okay, you've got two ghosts hosting a show about what it's like to be dead, right? But I knew that like the core of the show had to be, you know, solid. Like we had to have a solid structure beneath all the wackiness and the horror and the gross out. So that's why I was looking for just really, really funny, brilliant writers. Like these are, you know, people that know comedy and know character development. And, you know, I honestly, I'm big fans of both Ryan and Katie and, you know, talked to both of them. And early on, like our first conversations were immediately like really fruitful. Like I think we mm-hmm. came up with ideas for the show, like right in the first like interviews we were doing, you know what I mean? And so like right away it was like, you know, Ryan's got this like these comedy chops of doing all these different like really funny bits for Comedy Central and then stand up. And Katie, you know, has so much experience with like with the horror. With she, I don't know if you know this, Casey, but she does a apocalyptic podcast, which is in the horror world. And so she does all this horror stuff and all this horror mm-hmm. comedy. So right away, like the three of us got together, you know, bolstered by, I have to mention, you know, cause I want to hand it over to them for a second. But, you know, I have to say, I also, you know, included my animators on our writing sessions, which is really important to me as an animator. They always get left out of the writer's room. Always. So it was important to me, you know, my animation director, Katie Wendt, my creative director, Devin Clark, were there in the meetings with us. So addition to all the character comedy and gags we were coming up with, we were also coming with the visuals at the same time. So Ryan and Katie were just crucial to the comedy of the show. So I can let them.
Thank you.
It's funny you brought up the animators, because I actually found out about the show from David, because I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he posted something about Death Axe, and I saw the trailer, and then I went and watched the first episode. So I originally found out about it because of him. But for Katie and Ryan, like when you guys were writing the show, were you writing with characters in mind? Like, did you do, like, for instance, Ryan, did you write for Adam and did Katie write for Molly, or was it best idea wins type of thing?
Go ahead, Ryan.
I think ultimately it was always the best idea that was going to win out, but we had such a good team right away. And I think we all got along right away and kind of knew what we wanted out of this. And so, you know, the best joke was always the one that rose to the top. I mean, I don't really feel like we had too many contentious moments in the writer room at all. It was always like,
except for that one time. No, just kidding.
No, we're going to talk about right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I think having Devin and Katie went in there was so really important. Helpful. It was really helpful for us because, like, you know, I came from making content for Comedy Central, and so I had like one foot into the you know, making things for your phone kind of world. Mm-hmm. And Katie and I have known each other from stand-up for almost a decade now. Mm-hmm. And so we had like jokes, we had these characters in mind, we understood like the type of people that would be on a life hacks show, or like, you know, we knew influencers enough to parody them, but when it came to like what was actually even possible as far as animation goes, like they were a tremendous resource, and Aaron steering the ship like helped everything work together.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'll just piggyback on that just to say that, like, you know, with the studio, you know, the studio has been open for 21 years now. Mm-hmm. Collaborating is my favorite part of the entire job. I love to do it. It's the best part. And, you know, this was such a great writer's room because I'm really not just saying this, that like there was so much mutual respect there. And I think this is what Ryan was kind of saying, was like, it was just always what's funniest. Like there was no hurt feelings. Like if I told a joke, if I had a gag and then, you know, Katie went up it, which she usually would, you know, I'd be like, great, let's do that. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, why be precious when we all like each other and we're all really funny? You know what I mean? Yeah. We all have good ideas.
Especially with such a new medium.
Right.
Like, yeah, and that, it was just fun every day. We were like having a riff session, you know, it was just like,
those are the best.
It was a delight, you know, it keeping that playful element, I think, is one of the reasons that the show is so good, because, you know, you don't stay attached to anything and you just focus on that fun feeling.
Yeah. It's a ton of fun to watch. And like I said, with a short format, it makes it even better to just churn through those. You almost don't realize you're going in from one episode to the next in some ways. Yeah. Was this written by any chance in quarantine? I'm just curious. I'm curious. You said writer's room, so I assume not. But I'm just curious about the process, because we've seen kind of a rise of animated stuff in quarantine, because that's a better process right now safely. So I was just curious when I saw this. I'm like, well, it's short enough that maybe this idea came to fruition, but in quarantine. But I was just curious about the rise of that.
Made the bulk of it last year, at the very end of last year. We sort of finished that post, was like the first we kind of honestly finished it right when quarantine started. In fact, like, we had to do ADR, you know, where you record, you know, extra dialogue, you know, after you've animated, just for like, you know, audio purposes for polish. And Kristen Schaal and Thomas Middleditch and Adomian and Butera, they all had to do their ADR on their phones from their houses, because I had studios booked that, you know, one by one, the studios were like, yeah, we can't have human people in our booth anymore. You know what I mean? And I was like, really? Is that what's happening?
Wow.
You forget how weird this whole thing was in the beginning, where it was like, well, why would you close your audio studio? I don't understand. So we had to have them, like, we had our audio facility, like, give, Middleditch and Schaal like advice on, not even kits. We were just like,
oh, wow.
You know, like, okay, go in your closet. Make sure there's a lot of clothes in there, because it dampens the audio. Like, it was that crazy.
Man. Wow.
Yeah. So we were just finishing as the quarantine was starting. In fact, I'm happy to say there was only one joke we had to change due to the quarantine. And we had a gag in there. I'm pretty sure Ryan wrote it, where the last episode's at Coachella, which is Hell's biggest music festival. And of course they have the ultimate afterlife supergroup, which I think was like Biggie, John Philip Sousa, Bob Marley, like all these different people. And then I think the gag was and then little Timmy.
Yeah.
But what was it? To some, you guys probably remember better than I do.
He died. He showed a lot of promise before he died in fifth grade.
Oh, no.
In the outbreak.
In the school band. And they go, oh, man. You know, before the outbreak, right? Yeah. And we were like, yeah, let's.
It's funny that anything gets cut from content like this, right? Because it's all, dealing with death. I understand the nuances.
We had a little brainstorm session towards the end of the season of like next season type stuff. And I know that one of the concepts was viral videos, a real virus spreads. And it was like, yeah that's not that funny anymore.
That's too bad. I mean, it would have been.
But it will be in 100 years.
In season 4, it will be. I mean, yeah, that's something I was going to ask. Was there anything that hit the cutting room floor that you really love that maybe we'll see a sneak peek of into season 2? Obviously, getting cut for COVID is one thing, but was there ideas that you did love, and nothing's precious, so you were able to let it go, but you're hoping that you can bring it back?
There was a ton of ideas that, I mean, it's just really, once we understood who Adam and Molly were, and also their relationship to each other, which I think was like, for me, that was the most important thing about this show, because like beyond that, they're, you know, dead, and that they're hosting this show. It's like, who are they and who are they to each other? Mm-hmm. Then we came up with backstories about how they died. And, you know, we have so much from like who these characters are now to pull from for future seasons. And I think as the audience grows and as people find out about the show and they watch them, that's the cool thing about it being short form. You can watch all of them. Currently, I think you can watch all of them about a half hour.
Yeah.
You know, we can get more in depth with it. As far as things cut from season 1 that we want to bring back, I think it's mostly that we just really established who they are. And now we have this great mind, this great well to go into. But like, my God, I know Katie can speak to this, but it's like some of our scripts came in at like 8-9 pages. And we're like, this got to be 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's already like a fast pace.
So it was going.
There's two things, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, one is that, you know, Ryan, I touched on this, and I think it's really important because I personally, it was like the breakthrough for me for the show, and what I think Ryan and Katie brought in such an exciting way really early on was who are these two characters, right? Because as an animator, like, I always go for the gross out gags and the horror stuff, and that's what that's where I want to be. Like, it's like a savory world, right? But what makes the show watchable and endearing in some ways is who are these two characters? Like, who are they and why are they doing this show and why do they want to be famous and how do they feel about each other? And really early on, and it was a really exciting thing that happens when we were in the room and Ryan and Katie were there and we just started brainstorming like who they are. And we're like, oh, it's like, you know, Adam's like into like pranks and skateboarding and, you know, the more superficial stuff, and like Molly likes fashion, and, you know, mm-hmm. you always start sort of superficial and get deeper. And I remember it was the moment when we were like, well, what if they, like, one of them had a crush on the other, you know, like that would be kind of an interesting through line. And we're like, and I think I was like, oh, Molly would have a crush, you know, on Adam, you know? And I think it was Katie that was like, no, Adam has a crush on Molly. And it was like, yeah, that makes total sense. And that sort of defined their interaction from then on, was that, you know, that everybody can relate to that. It's like they're best friends. He's got this unrequited crush. She's sort of like in her own zone, you know, and like every episode has a touch of that. And I think it's what really draws you in.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen the plot twist of her in love with the internet troll, but that's just me.
It did go to prom together.
Yeah. I like that, you know, every episode adds a little bit of layering to it. So you've really established that world, like you guys said, to jump off and expand into even deeper stories for season two, as deep as you can go with, you know, 6 minute type episodes. You know,
I think we felt like we are really getting out there when we started to make over the troll and just fill out his backstory. Yeah. We're like, oh, we're rocking now.
We're here.
We know what we're doing now. This is great.
Go ahead.
The second thing I was going to say was about like cutting room floor. You know, it's funny, like I'll say Snap's been great about like letting us do all kinds of really crazy stuff. I mean, it's a really weird show. Like they're kind of, when at the end of it, I look back and I was like, what I'm most proud of is like, I don't know another show like it. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Like format wise, and I watch a lot of shows. There's not really, like most shows you can go like, oh, it's kind of like The Office, but it's in space, you know, like whatever. This one's right. Like, really, it is a unique show. And like, to me, the closest precedent might be like Pee-wee's Playhouse or something, where you have like, a really weird character talking to the screen.
You're dead. You just yell that at the beginning, like Pee-wee's house. The chair says, you're dead. It's the secret word of the day.
Was that Hyperdrive that you were thinking of? The Office in Space? I love that show.
A little. Yeah, that's a great
one. There's a new Paul Feig thing that came out too. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it reminds me of that too.
But like the only changes, the main changes that Snap was giving was honestly just being relatable to their audience. Because they're so securely very young and Gen Z, and I'm pretty securely Gen X, right? We're millennials, right? And it's like, I would be shocked when, like, for example, like we did a bit where Adam, they're remembering bad dates they have, and Adam remembers a bad date he had with Jigsaw from Saw, right? Mm-hmm. It was a thing about being possessive. Oh, remember that time you dated Jigsaw? And it was like the joke, like Jigsaw's got him in a thing of being possessive, right? And Snap was like, oh yeah, our audience has no idea who Jigsaw is.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, Jigsaw?
It's not even that long ago. And they're still making Saw films.
We were like, really? That's not relatable. And then so we turned it to Slender Man instead. It was like, okay, they know who Slender Man is.
I had just seen the 2020 of like the girl, like the three girls who have been, I think they killed their friend. I forgot about it anyway.
The documentary.
Like,
yeah, whatever that was with Slender Man. And like, that's, yeah.
It's a fun one. It's a fun one.
Right. It's light. It's light content for everyone for this time of year.
Well, that was the fun thing. And I'll say Katie brought a lot to that too. One of the things that Katie and I have in common is like, we just love laughing at the darkest possible things.
Love it.
The biggest laughs we would get. And like, you know, whenever we would get into like Lizzie Borden or like just these really dark things, it was always where we would laugh the most.
Mm-hmm. And I would clutch my pearls and just go,
We like, said some sinful things in that writer's room. We really did.
Aaron and Katie are like, I say this in the highest compliment, a little sadistic in their humor. And it's just, and I, you know, I'm over here like not as big of a horror buff. Like, I like it, but I legitimately get scared, so I can't handle it.
You're like a little bit of balance to
there's
the
no
conversation.
Separation. Like, I'm in, you know, like, I'm really like, oh my God, my family was murdered. That's how it feels when I watch this movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm just like, okay, let me absorb what they're saying and just let them figure this one out.
That was something about Adam, the character of Adam, that he had this like streak of innocence that was like very charming about him, that I felt like was a gift from you, where he was this sweet, sweet boy.
That's true. Yeah, whereas Molly was more sophisticated, which I think came from Katie.
It's funny that they didn't get the Jigsaw reference with Spiral coming out next year, which is part of the Saw franchise. So maybe they'll be reintroduced to that and we can actually have a Jigsaw joke in season two.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, I worked at MTV briefly, and like, you know, there's the half-life on pop culture at places like MTV and Snapchat is like the last like 3 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah.
Like, it's yeah.
What happened last year, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get, you know, Thomas and Kristen attached to this project? Did you have them in mind? And how receptive to were they to the idea? Because I feel like James's internet troll is like perfect. Like, I just like, yeah, of course, James Adomian's the internet troll. When I saw that, because I didn't know the first couple times I saw him, and then I went back and I was like, oh, okay, James is playing that character. But how did you get Thomas and Kristen involved with it? Did you pitch them, or did you work with them before? How'd that pan out?
Did I work with Kristen before? I don't think I did. I knew Kristen just from being in New York, and there was kind of a weird overlap. There was a point I did the show Ugly Americans, also a horror comedy, and there was a point when there was sort of an overlap between Ugly Americans and Bob's Burgers. Like, we had some similar cast members, and there was actually a flight that we all, the cast and crew of Ugly Americans and Bob's Burgers took a flight together to Comic-Con one year.
So yeah, I
had lunch with Kristen then. So I'd known her from that world a little bit, but I hadn't worked with Thomas. It was, you know, we just, you know, went out to the best people we knew of, you know. We actually, honestly, because of the schedule was so tight on the project, we did scratch track for all 10 episodes with Ryan and Katie as Adam and Molly. Oh, nice. And by the way, it's really good too. Like, it's great. Like,
do we get to see that? Is that going to be on deathhacks.com?
Maybe, or
we get to
see the, you know,
that'll be the blooper.
Ryan's like, nope.
But like, it's really funny too. So we actually, we cut all the episodes with those two, and they sort of set the pacing.
That's awesome.
I mean, so that was actually really, really helpful. It sort of, it laid the groundwork for the vibe of the show. And then we brought them in towards the end, you know, what, and that was kind of the beginning of this year. We brought them in, and then they brought in their magic. Obviously, Kristen Schaal and Thomas Middleditch are brilliant and super funny. But it's interesting, they brought their own vibe to it too. And it's funny because, you know, with Ryan and Katie, I feel like there was this, like, Ryan had this kind of innocence to Adam, you know, this kind of Charlie Brown quality. And Katie brought this, you know, really kind of smart, you know, really cool, you know, coolness to Molly. And then when Thomas and Kristen did it, they almost brought it in the other direction. Whereas Kristen Schaal is just so naturally sweet that she kind of gave this sweetness to Molly. And Thomas had this weird edge to him that he gave this strange edge to Adam. So it's interesting. It found like a zone in the middle that I think came out just like magical.
Yeah, whenever I think of Thomas, I think it's because of Silicon Valley. You get that kind of anxiety-ridden kind of angsty thing about
it.
He's
not like that at all.
Right.
He's
but
like a
from
really
a
confident dude.
From like the fast-paced perspective of how quick the show is and kind of jabby, it feels like it was like perfect for that type of.
Yeah, they were great. And by the way, Adomian and Butera are brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic. Adomian, they're both my go-to you know, voice actors in everything I do. They pretty much, both of them have been on almost
fantastic.
I love
they,
James.
You know that they played every character that was not Adam and Molly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And by the way, Ryan did the narrator, which is awesome too.
Yeah, I say, yeah. You mentioned Comic-Con, and that brought up something that I miss experiences, you guys. I don't know. It's in general, I miss going to festivals and conventions, and we do
that
a film fest.
Bummed me out so much.
I miss experiences.
I miss life in general. But the reason I say that is because when I saw the Hell Tell. I was like, man, this feels like a Comic-Con experience. Like,
yeah, that's
Airbnb
fun.
Waiting to happen, like an Airbnb death hex. And then at night you have a rave grave party like afterwards.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd love to see that. And then as we world build with these characters, like doing Funko vinyl figures of Adam and Molly and Internet Troll and Dr. Kill and all these characters doing little, like Kid Robot needs to get on that right now and Snapchat. This is the advertising marketing person of me.
Yeah.
Whenever I look at stuff like this, I'm like, I want to own this, or I want to see this happen.
If anybody makes figures and get in contact with me, email me through the website. I want dolls of Adam and Molly.
When Aaron showed us the gifts, I was over the moon. I was like,
yeah,
the
gifts
coolest
were
thing
really
ever.
Cool. Yeah. Really cool.
Instagram gifts, Facebook gifts, and what else is it on Snap? Obviously,
Yeah,
you can put it on there.
Yeah, really cool.
I think it was on Twitter at one point, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can.
Maybe it was like Giphy or something on Twitter.
Yeah, it's on Giphy.
Yeah.
If you search Death Hacks on Giphy, it'll come up.
Everywhere.
They're very cool.
I'm friends with Matt L, that's a designer for Kid Robot, because he's actually here where I'm at. So I'll hit him up and be like,
yeah,
tell him these guys and make Snap build some figures for us.
Yeah, get on the team.
with Kohella, like, it's funny, like this is all like it was kind of interesting, because when we did make a pilot, and the pilot was kind of like it almost behaves as like a trailer for everything else we were going to do. It's kind of them just explaining their world, saying like, you're dead, this is what's going on in hell, there's like hell and heaven, and it's gross out food, and like, you know, setting into place. Like, so if you watch the first episode, it's kind of our like teaser episode. And just when, you know, Ryan and Katie and Devin and Katie and I were brainstorming, we came up with most of the episodes in that first episode, because that was when we were like, oh, they should have like Kohella and like all these different, like, oh, it'd be really fun if they could go to heaven and hell, and oh, heaven would be like super lame, that's where your grandparents are, but hell's like rocking, and like, and that was like a lot of the ideas came in. That was like literally first week we brainstormed,
like, heaven is Facebook where all your grandparents are.
It's true.
I did want to bring up, kind of staying on the topic of death. Let's talk about horror in general for a second. So I want to hear from you guys. If you were to come back to life as a zombie and you got bit and you're coming back, who would you bite first and why?
I mean, I
have an idea that I mean.
I just think that this is a lot of hypothetical, that I'm going to be sentient enough as a zombie to be like searching around to find somebody to eat. It's like, I'm going to eat the first person, probably my boyfriend, you know, and I don't want to do that.
I like that you brought logistics into a zombie conversation, but you're completely right. You're right. That is something.
I will have a 4-hour conversation about zombie logistics.
Yes. We love zombies.
Yeah, that was exactly my thought. Was like, this is definitely, do I know that I'm a zombie, right? Because then I can maybe like pick who I would want to bite. And would it be someone that I like? I'd have to reason. Would it be someone I want to be, you know, co-zombies with? Or is it someone that I want to punish and make them eat their whole family?
You'd probably bite your dog, you know?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I probably would end up biting my dog. I wouldn't want to.
She is cute, though. She's very delicious.
And she runs.
I want to bite her now.
Also, like anytime I get a scratch or something, she always will come over and start licking it. And like, she's already.
That's it. Boom.
She's already turning.
That's how it gets in.
Is this normal? Do dogs like blood, or is mine have like a real obsession with us?
Yeah, mine does. Mine does that. If
dogs'
I ever have
tongues
a cut.
Can be healing. Is that true? I don't know. I always like say random facts. You guys know that about me.
I have heard that, but I feel like...
Have
like,
you? Okay, good.
They have bacteria all over them, right? Like, they're licking their butts. Like, why would the open wound... How does that heal?
But a dog's mouth is much cleaner than a human's mouth. Again,
that doesn't,
I have no...
Look, that, people say that all the time, Katie. It doesn't mean that a dog's mouth is clean. It just means that our mouths also have bacteria.
Yeah. But we don't lick our butts.
They're not just full
Speak
of Clorox
for yourself.
In there.
Yeah.
It's still a mouth.
Still a mouth. We should get that on a shirt.
It's still a mouth.
Still a mouth.
No context is even better.
My instinct was Mario Batali.
Okay.
I feel like he would be delicious and also
Absolutely.
Worthy of massacring and murdering.
And then if he's like, why did you bite me? You could say, well, you had it coming.
You had a combo. Just for the crops alone.
Yeah.
From us, I feel like the fact that we've discussed this now, it's in our heads. So if we ever do turn to a zombie, whatever answers we give in, it'll just subconsciously happen. So unfortunately, your dog's a goner and your boyfriend's a goner, but that's okay.
Well, he'll be with me. He wouldn't want to be a human while I was a zombie.
That's a good point. I'll project
that onto him.
It becomes a romantic zombie comedy.
Yes.
Can I have a question, Casey?
Yeah.
Are vampires zombies?
Oh boy.
Because I was just thinking about the fact that it's really desirable to be a vampire because you want to get fit and become a vampire, right? But it's not desirable to become a zombie. But it is, you know, eternal life. So why is that not desirable?
Yeah, because you've got eternal life for both in some ways. Yeah. But one, you're actually conscious and can make decisions and live a life.
Do we want to be conscious? Is that a thing we want?
Here's the real deal. This is what it is. It's about vanity. These zombies,
your
skin's they're ugly.
Rotting off. When you're a vampire, you literally look sexier.
But you can't see it in the mirror.
I just rewatched
The Omega Man. Have you guys seen that? Omega Man?
I haven't.
That's like one of the what was that book that it was written after?
Last Man on Earth.
It was like that was the crossover point between vampires and zombies.
Yeah,
that movie right there, where it was like they were kind of like sick and they became vampires, but then that's like what inspired the Night of the Living Dead.
Katie, have you seen the Vincent Price Last Man on Earth?
I haven't seen that.
It's
one.
Really good.
That's the one I know of. Actually.
That book made me cry, and I don't cry. The dog thing is heavy. It is heavy. It is.
Yeah. I read the book. No,
Matheson,
I didn't.
Right?
I'm confused. What was the one? The Will Smith movie.
It all stems from the same.
Legend. I read Legend. Which is like really close to.
Yeah.
But yeah, the dog thing is like sad.
But that was Tim Matheson. Is that his name? Matheson. He wrote all the best Twilight Zones.
Oh yeah. I love those old ones. I love them. They're freaky.
Murder at 1,000 Feet was his too.
Yeah. I really enjoy the vampire versus werewolf. What We Do in the Shadows.
it's funny.
We're putting vampires against someone. So far, that's been my favorite matchup.
I saw the movie, you know, when it came out.
Love
but I hadn't seen the show until after we made Death Hacks.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it's the same sense of humor. Like it's the same, like
they
not
nailed it.
A bad way. You know, like I was like, oh, this is great. Like they're doing, this is just what I love to see. It's so funny.
They nailed that. We actually were lucky enough at our Film Fest Panic Fest. We did the North American debut of What We Do in the Shadows in 2013, 2014. And we didn't realize, you know, what that was going to turn into. And it's been a blast to see it kind of evolve into different areas. But
we have the Kristen Schaal crossover. She was on What We Do in the Shadows.
Yep. It's like a six degree.
She hates horror.
Oh, really?
I asked her because she's in Last Man on Earth. So people put her in horror stuff. I was like, oh, you must really like horror. She's like, I hate horror.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, I mean, she's like, horror. She's like, I get too scared. I can't watch it.
Well, Death Hacks, it's more her speed, I feel like.
Yeah.
So is there any word on season 2? You said you're working on that now. Do we know when it'll be released? And then I know it's short form, but I'd still love to see some sort of long form come out of this at some point where the world building comes to life in a long form piece. Is there any plans for that? And what can we expect from season 2?
Do a Snapchat movie that's like 25 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. A live event.
There's actually no word on second season yet.
That's
up to Snap to decide. So if you love the show, I guess, I don't know, snap and let them know.
Yeah.
Because we'd love to make more for sure. It was so fun. So we'll see. I would love to make more. We brainstormed a lot of ideas for more seasons. And whatever form it takes, I hope we get to make more, whether it's Snapchat or somewhere else. We'll see. We'll see. Because I'd love to keep making it. I had so much fun.
Yeah, I'd love to see some more of it. Everyone should check that out. It's on Snapchat now. You got all 10 episodes. You can go to deathhacks.com to learn a little bit more and then push you over to Snapchat. But yeah, please share that if you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I really appreciate it.
Subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Subscribe to it, yes.
It costs you nothing. It's free to hit the button.
get over there, check it out. Death Hacks. I loved it. Thanks so much for joining me and taking the time to talk about it today. And I'll cross my fingers for a season two and some vinyl toys.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Casey. We
love the Creepcast. Thank you, Casey. Creepcast.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Listening to a Downright Creepy original on the Crickets Podcast Network.